In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in seminary, we took a yearly class retreat. This was a chance for the students to get out of the hustle and bustle of Manhattan and also to spend some time together outside of the classroom. We would take a bus up to Connecticut and spend a weekend together in the fall. I always looked forward to these retreats. It was a time when you could put aside schoolwork and relax, maybe spend some time with friends or with classmates you had not really gotten to know yet. One year, I distinctly remember really wanting to get out of New York. You see, the New York Yankees had just beaten my Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series. And the only thing worse than watching your team lose the World Series is living in that city they just lost to. To add insult to injury, as luck would have it, the route we took out of the city that year literally drove us by the front door of Yankee Stadium. So it felt really good to see that disappear out of sight and out of mind. I have several fond memories from those retreats. One in particular comes from a Eucharist we held one night. The retreat center had a beautiful chapel. It had old stone walls with exposed timber beams. It was a tiny place. You could call it cozy. All of the students on the retreat completely filled it. Every available seat was taken with more brought in. We were pressed shoulder to shoulder. The students leading the worship decided that we would be using Taizé chant for our music. Now, if you are not familiar with Taizé, it is a community of monks in France, and it's a famous pilgrimage site. People from all over the world flock to it. One of the main reasons is because of their unique music. They have composed a library of very simple and elegant chants. They are meant to be sung over and over again. There is power in singing the same devotional words over and over. The melodies are written in such a way that people can easily and naturally harmonize with them. As the Spirit moves you, your voice might go up or it might go down. You find yourself responding to the other voices around them, feeding off of them and interacting. In that cramped chapel, our voices blended together, and we prayerfully sung those Taizé chants. Things like, "Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life." For me, everything about that moment was holy. The music, the words, the people, the bread and wine. Most importantly, the simple fact that we were together. That we were together. And the reason why we were brought together was the most holy thing of all. Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, who had called us all there. Called us together in his name, together in his presence, together around his holy table. Now, recently, many of us probably gathered with family and friends to share a Thanksgiving meal. Now, it has always been a long-running joke about the holiday season that there can be some tension among family when sitting down for Thanksgiving. Most, if not all, of that tension centers around politics. Now, there are countless movies and television shows that play on this trope. Everyone sitting down around a turkey, plates being passed out to get stuffing and potatoes piled up on them, everything going just fine until someone says the wrong thing. The young grandchild who talks about revolution, the old uncle who wants to return to tradition. Quickly, the meal spirals out of control. This is becoming less a joke about the holidays and more a reality of our everyday lives. There's almost nothing left that has not become political. You can't talk about the weather, sports, or pop culture without running the risk of veering into a political argument. So much of our society has turned into a zero-sum game with those who we disagree with. Almost everything a battleground to be won or lost. I think back to that chapel. to those people gathered around that holy table. And there was nothing political about it. Revolutionary? Yes. Traditional? Yes. But not political. I think about this holy table and ones like it across the city, across this state, across this country, and across this world. Every one of us, every human being called to gather around it. This table does not care if you are liberal or conservative, if you are black or white, young or old, gay or straight, rich or poor, a sinner or a saint. From this table, the voice of our Lord, of our King, Jesus Christ, calls us all together, calls us to come in peace, pressed shoulder to shoulder with people we know and love, pressed shoulder to shoulder with the stranger that we might fear. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. At this table, God will bless our souls, and we will bless God's holy name, and we will be led into new life. Scripture says that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What if Jesus Christ became our beginning and our end? What if we started and ended with Jesus Christ, with each other? Started with his love, his peace, his respect, and dignity for one another. And what if our end goal with each other was his love, his peace, his respect, and dignity? I believe that would be God's kingdom, and we would be God's people. That would be salvation. Amen.